The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, the voice of the people. News Talk 710. Rumors, half-truths, hearsay, stuff we just made up. Hear it all on the Peter Boyles Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Love the new promos. Good morning, everyone. It is a Monday morning, January 25, 2021. Good old 710 KNUS. Great couple of hours straight ahead. Has nothing to do with me. It's just good guests coming up, good calls. 35 will be the high today, light snow. 26 on Tuesday, Wednesday, sun comes out, 45, 50 on Thursday. I got some time off and leaving Wednesday morning and get out of the blast. And Billy's going to take some time off. And Stefan will have, I think Billy's going to stay with Stefan for a couple of days. Stefan's got the radio show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then either Randy or Jimmy or Randy Monday, Tuesday, then I'm back on the show. It's been an interesting good morning. A lot of good stuff. It's a good change. Hank Aaron passed away and then mentioned this, and it triggered a lot of calls. Larry King, 87 years of age, Larry King is gone. The Super Bowl, and we have Joe Williams coming up. But before all of that, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the man with a plan, my favorite guy. He gives us wonderful radio shows. His new book is out. Do you get to go to spring training? Do you actually make the trip with the team?
Aurora, Colorado. Hello.
Larry King.
Good morning, Peter.
Billy.
I used to go to spring training, not anymore.
That's over. No mas.
Yeah, for now. Oh, I'll head to some more spring trainings in the future.
Of course, the voice, the man with a plan, Bill Rogan. I thought the guy's gone. Ask you to knock him off. Do Larry King. Do a Larry.
Let's go to the phones. Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hello.
You're with Larry. Hey, remember.
Thank you for your call, sir. Yeah. Let's go to
Brentwood,
Sarasota, Florida. Hello.
Brentwood.
Right now it's Los Angeles, California. Goodbye.
Remember where he went? Brentwood, OJ. How'd he do that? Remember he got Patsy Ramsey's sister on, Crazy Aunt Pam?
Yeah.
And they would pretend like those were not arranged calls. Like, wait a minute, stop. You know, nobody talks to him. He would, God love him, 87, what a run.
I loved his old overnight radio show. I could just see him kicking back with a few brews, and he was a heavy smoker back then, and he let the callers run the show. He didn't do anything.
No.
He just said, hello.
Did he?
Let them ramble on, and then they go to the next caller.
Yeah, we were talking about him. 87, and there was a couple places on the internet that said he got jammed up for something. I just read it to you. Began 57 in Miami. How strong is that? Moves to TV in 60. Continues his career 78 to 94, Billy.
Yeah, and he also had time to mix in seven wives.
Yeah, seven wives. Loved them all.
Not at the same time, though. Let's make that clear.
Loved them all. That's what I told Stefan. When Stefan got into talk radio, I said, you got these three or four ex-wives and a couple of trips to rehab, and then you're a talk show host.
Well, I skipped that part.
I know you did. Guys talked this morning. It was really good callers about how they got into the business, how they fell, how they came to talk radio. How did you come to talk radio?
Well, my initial plan of playing for the Yankees didn't work out. And so I went to college as a broadcast journalist major, and then I just kind of started broadcasting sports. It wasn't heavy lifting. It wasn't that hard. I enjoyed it, and I just kept going as long as I could.
Where's the first place you worked?
WRKL Radio in Rockland County, New York.
Wow.
A suburb of New York City. I did high school football and basketball, and during the week, I did exciting things like cover planning board meetings.
Oh, yeah. But that's how you make your bones.
Yes.
I mean, I wrote a column, so I should have mentioned that. Big deal. But it's up entitled, I Heard It on the Radio, and the website is 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, and go to columns, and it's in the Chronicle, a critique of the last couple months of talk radio and where I think we're headed. But there are radio guys, and they make their bones doing radio. And we're talking about Hal Moore and Charlie. And then there are a handful of guys that can sit down and do it. Berg was one who, you know, was a friend of his brought him in and put him on the air, and he just instantly. Dave Logan literally took off the helmet, sat in front of the microphone and got it. Mike Rosen came out of business, sat down and got it. Joe Williams sat down and got it. But see, you made your bones. You started out doing the rookie stuff.
Well, I had to work hard because I'm not talented enough to just, right. You know, sit down. I had to work at it. And just about everything I've done, I've had to work at it to be somewhat proficient. I used to teach at the broadcast school here in Denver, and it was frustrating because a lot of kids were like, well, I'm going to start out in Los Angeles or Chicago. I'm like, no, you're not. You know, if you want to be in the business, you got to start anywhere they'll give you a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Too many kids are wanting to get to the big time without taking the journey that leads to it. And very few people can just step in. I had a boss years ago at a place called WBNR Radio in Beacon, New York. That's where I covered Army sports. And his name was Bob Outer, and he recently passed away. Best boss I ever had. He would bring in a potential talk show host. He'd say hello in the office. He'd sit him down, and then he'd just hit the tape recorder and said, start talking. I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Sure.
And if a person had no notes, no preparation, but could fill 15 minutes on a tape recorder, maybe you got something there. Because there are times where you walk into the studio and nothing is happening, but you got to make something happen. You can't have dead air. And people would be weeded out like that in a hurry, but he'd find some gems. Guys would say, okay, it's a Thursday morning here in the Hudson Valley, and they'd just ramble on.
Yeah. My gimmick always was when people said they wanted to, I'd say, take a towel, put it over the phones, do an hour.
Yes.
See what you got. No, I'm serious. I'm not making it up. I mean,
Peter, that brings back a memory because I remember the very first sports show I hosted. I was all pumped up. It was a Saturday morning, and I told all my buddies, "Hey, call in." None of them called
in.
Right,
yeah.
I had an hour to kill it was a nightmare. But I realized the importance then of preparing for a show as if you have no callers or if it's a slow day. There's no news. You got to make news. You got to figure something out.
We're in a transition right now because it's been so intense and so nuts, and it's done. It's over. But when it was announced that Larry King had passed away, and, you know, it's like great columnist, and I'm certainly not either one of those things. But somebody said, yeah, but you only do three pieces a week. But guys like Royko would say, yeah, but I think about it all the time. In other words, you know, to stay, and I think about the show a lot, and I'm probably more now after these couple of months. So when Larry King was announced, he was passed, and I said, I wonder, because I remember listening to Larry King. Everybody listened to Larry King. I said, that'd be a great on-air topic, and the column came down on talk radio, and I thought, well, it's jammed the lines. I mean, since 5 a.m., people wanted to talk about how they got into how they came across talk radio. And I have this theory that there's a certain age break that happens sometime past 35 where music – I mean, I still love music. I'm a music in the car guy. But when there's – you need more when you're a parent or, you know, all these different things, your job or, you know, the future, and you come on to talk radio. I think it's a progression. And
with talk radio, it's something that you need to have a frame of reference for.
Yeah.
If you're 23 years old, you may be a pretty good talker and whatnot, but you don't have the frame of reference that a guy who's 40 or 50 or 60 has. You know, so I think living makes you a good talk show host, just experiencing things. And if a guy, say, is a car salesman, he goes to work at 8, maybe comes home at 6, and that's it. He turns on to something else. A good talk show host, as you alluded to a moment ago, it's a 24-hour-a-day job. You could be walking down the street on a Sunday afternoon, and something hits you in the head and say, wow, that would be a good topic for the show.
And that's
maybe
what you,
on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what you think. You know, you're always – and the guys that taught you. I mean, the late Bob Lee, we mentioned Alan Berg, and somebody brought up Gary Tesler and Kenny. And if you're good, you learn from those guys. And, you know, you listen to the guys who could do it better. By the way, FYI, just hit the wire. This is my heads up for everybody in this business. Dominion Voting Systems has now just announced a lawsuit against Rudolph Giuliani for seeking $1.3 billion in defamation after his disinformation campaign. I've told everybody, this is what's in my column, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, get ready. Dominion Voting has just announced they're suing Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudolph Giuliani, for $1.3 billion. It's coming. Everybody get ready. Having said that, now, because I was talking about the scandals, and you weren't in the business, and I wasn't in the business, but in 1959, they were called payola plugola, the scandals. And it ended a lot of people's careers. They were taking money to play music or taking something to do something with it. And they were controlling, and the mob was part of it. And the Senate held hearings in 1959, and it went into the House. And the FCC, they started cracking down on guys. And that's what ended Alan Freed. It ended a lot of guys. And it ended.
That was also the time of the game show scandals, too, I believe.
And it then also they were looking at comic books. That's where they were, you know, all these juvenile delinquents. And I think that the comic book thing, the comic book thing came earlier. The game show. I think you're right. I think you're right. Is when they popped. I mean, so the whole thing is on the make, on the take, and it ended careers. But I'm telling you what's going to happen in the back of this. You watch these lawsuits, and I love this business, and I don't want to be right. I ended the column with, I hope everything I wrote in this column is wrong, because I know what's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty when it happens. Who was the, when it came to sports, when did you start doing sports talk?
Probably around 1986.
I'm trying to think, you know, because the originals, like when I worked at KOA, Larry Zimmer and Bob Martin, and they had a young guy working with them, Sandy Clough, who I just mentioned. I'm a huge Sandy Clough fan. And Sandy was the first sort of dissenter. And that's the role that Joe Williams played so well. You know, Joe Williams was not a homer. Like, I grew up on.
Well, that's one thing I like Sandy. You know, Sandy will give you his opinion whether you like it or not. It's his opinion.
He's my guy. I love him, man. I love Sandy.
And I like that he isn't a homer. He's one of the few who doesn't, you know, stick his nose up the Broncos' butts.
That's right. And one of the reasons, and Joe Williams is going to talk about that. But I got so many questions for you. Bill Rogan's here, 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. Good morning, everyone. What are they talking about in New England this morning? I'm going, okay, I got so many questions.
I don't know. I was wondering, is Bill Belichick happy for Brady? Oh. Is he mad regarding Brady because he maybe makes it make him look bad? Or is he just ambivalent? I don't know.
Well, the rap I read, and ever since I read that book, and talked about it, it's called Dynasty. And by the way, as an aside, that same guy wrote that Tiger Woods book. That's as good as they come. What a life that kid, man. I'm just Tiger Woods. I am so impressed, especially in the comeback after he had gotten in trouble and then the pain pills and all that kind of stuff. And he got jammed up again and he makes this return, winning the Masters. I mean, I thought, you know, that's just the greatest comeback story in the world. And
well, I don't know if it's the greatest comeback story in the world. He built his own bed.
Oh, sure he did.
On many occasions.
We all do.
But he persevered. You know, I'll give him credit for that. I'm not a Tiger Woods fan.
I'm
some of the things he's treated people poorly too.
Has he? I'm a fan. I mean, anybody that can come back, and it's one of my great feelings about this last month since the ratings. You make one more comeback, and that's enough. It's like a prize fighter that can come back, and it's hard to do. Ali did it, you know, but it's a rare, rare thing to see it happen. But I got this thing for Tiger Woods. That book just knocked me out. I just thought it was great. Our guest, the one and only Bill Rogan. So what I read was Belichick and Brady, in the end, they weren't close. Is that true?
From what I understand, that is true. They drifted apart, and sometimes you get too much success, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Belichick wanted to show, I can win a Super Bowl without Brady. And perhaps Brady said, I can win a Super Bowl without Belichick.
But the rap
they didn't want to share the spotlight together anymore.
Brady wanted the coach. That's what somebody said. And, it's like, you know.
Well, Tom Brady can do whatever he wants.
You bet.
The guy is incredible. He's 43 years old. I've never seen anything like it.
Can he win this game coming up?
I think they will win.
Even better.
I just have a feeling.
Whoa.
I just have a feeling they'll beat Kansas City somehow, some way.
What a storyline, though. You have this young, incredible, gifted kid, and then you got this old guy who's incredibly gifted.
Well, a lot of people hate Brady, but I don't.
I don't.
I like greatness. I like seeing a guy
Why do they
who
hate
is
him?
So good.
Okay, help me, because I don't
it's
follow
jealousy,
sports.
Jealousy, envy. You know, maybe they wish that he was on their team. He's a little smug. You know, he's everything that people are not. He's talented. He doesn't age. He looks like he's 27.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's married to a supermodel, so
yes.
I think looks a little like a man, by the way. But anyhow, it's Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's the best football player who's ever lived, and a lot of people may just be envious of that. I admire him. I mean, the guy is doing stuff that we've never seen before and probably never will see again.
The book about the book about Belichick, and I hump this book all the time because it's so good. It's called Dynasty, and it's about the Krafts and about Belichick and Brady and all the stuff, the internal workings. How much money? Man, there was a tremendous amount of money involved in this.
It's incredible.
And the NFL and, you know, who gets to call the shots. And then when Brady leaves, and everybody thought he was going to go into that good night, and he doesn't. And so, I mean, I watched the game with my grandson. I got about partway into the Bills game, and he went home, and I just flipped it over to something else because I don't watch pro sports. But I just thought it was an epic story. Here's this guy who everybody thinks is headed to the dustbin of history. He comes back and gets everybody. That's cool stuff.
And I just don't understand how he's not deteriorating. You know, every quarterback, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, if there comes a point where you can see their skills have eroded, I don't see that in Brady.
No.
I mean, his body type is the same. His throws are the same. His demeanor is the same. I mean, he just hasn't changed. It's incredible.
Those guys are amazing. Our guest, the one and only Bill Rogan, we're talking about just everything and anything, 303-696-1971. And again, it's just been announced that Dominion is suing Rudolph Giuliani. This is just the beginning. That's what my column is about. And these guys aren't going to settle for less. The hitman, Joe Williams, is coming up. So pick a winner. So you think that New England can come? New England, listen to me. Tampa Bay, Peter, Tampa Bay can clip these guys.
I think Tampa Bay is going to win.
Wow. What's a...
I could be wrong, though. Kansas City could win.
Who knows?
I'm going to take the Giants in an upset.
Do you bet at all?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Can I tell you what? I'm getting tired of hearing all these gambling ads.
It's amazing
to me, because how do these gambling companies make money? By people gambling and losing.
Absolutely.
So when you have all these media outlets promoting gambling, they're saying it's okay if our listeners end up losing their money. We don't care. We're getting money from the gambling people.
Yeah, but Las Vegas is built on people losing.
Yes. People go there to Las Vegas. Here, they're like these come-ons.
I got a
they're
friend.
Trying to get people who are naive.
I got a long-time friend. He's involved out there somewhat. And I was there, and he had a limo. We rode around. We went to the pirate ship and the volcano and all the lights in the air and flashing stuff and the Eiffel Tower. And we're riding along, and he says, do you think we're building on people coming out here and getting our money? And I said, no. But, no, that was a great line. He said, you think we're doing this on people coming out here and getting our money?
A lot of people have gone to Las Vegas in a $30,000 vehicle and have left in a $250,000 bus.
Yeah. I mean, that's why. Is Casino a favorite film of yours?
No.
All right.
It was good. Yeah. It's not a favorite.
Listen, you want to be a talk show host? I'm going to take some calls, put you on hold, do a break, and come back.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Bill Rogan, the one and only. We have a line open. Joe Williams coming up. Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Plumbing and heating issues can be a nightmare when you don't have the right partner. For the last two decades, customers throughout Metro Denver have known that Mighty Plumbing and Heating can be trusted to provide unparalleled customer service, affordability, most importantly, results. I have them out to my house. They came out and they found something, fixed it, and came back. And they came back the second time and brought the part and hooked it up. And I don't care I don't care how cold it gets, but we're good. Mighty takes care of all your plumbing and heating repairs, replacements, the best equipment. They got this deal for $69. They come out and they go over your furnace. It's like preventive maintenance. Mighty Inc. takes care of all your plumbing and heating repairs, replacements, best equipment for all of this. Mighty, now, if you're down to it, you really do need a new furnace. They have this deal right now where you get their furnace, have them install it, and a free whole home humidifier. Gimme. Free furnace purchase. But take this first step. $69. Mighty Plumbing and Heating, 720-340-1950, 720-340-1950. Schedule online, mightyph.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyles Show.
Morning, everybody. On a Monday, the 25th of January, 2021, 35 the high, maybe some light snow, 26 tomorrow and snow. Then I got some time off, but it comes back, 45. This just came down as well. Rick Crandall, talking about great radio guys. Rick's out. They flipped KEZW. I don't know what the new format will be. Ricky's run a really, really wonderful goodbye note, and we'll get him on the radio maybe tomorrow, get Ricky on the show. Longtime pal, Rick Crandall. 710 KNUS, we are Denver's talk station. The two and only, Bill Rogan with us. I just found out you're limited on your time. You have to go about your life. So let's, you know, we're talking radio and sports and anything in between and goes between. And I know you're going to do the radio show with us. We're going to do all the old producers and put everybody in the room and make fun of each other. So that one's coming up. I want to get you on this morning. That'll be one of those ones. Sit in the other room and watch. Said and done about radio and sports. When I mentioned Joe Williams, a D-Mac, who I love. I think he's great. These guys, we talked about Art Bell earlier, Alan Berg, Rush Limbaugh. They were unique, and they found their own way through it. When you were a kid growing up, who did you listen to?
Well, one guy – well, first of all, I listened to Top 40 early on, you know, Harry Harrison and – Dan Lundy, Cousin Brucey, and those guys. Mm. But then as far as talk radio goes, as I got older, I liked John Grant on WABC in New York. I always thought he was pretty good, a very polarizing guy. A little like yourself. I think there's some similarities.
That's a compliment. That's a compliment.
And, you know, I listened sports talk-wise, a guy named Art Rush Jr.
Oh, wow.
He was pretty good. And he had a unique style. And I remember John Sterling, who's now the voice of the Yankees, he had a sports talk show, and I called him a few times and got yelled at.
It didn't take
much for him to start
shocked.
Yelling at me.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah. But I always enjoyed talk show hosts who had a little bit of bite to them and weren't afraid to rail back at their callers, especially stupid callers. I didn't mind that. You know, it's like, light him up. This guy's a dumb caller. Light this guy up. And they usually would. And again, I listened to Larry King, the overnight show. I thought was just
Larry.
Great.
Yeah. That's what triggered all of this, the passing of Larry King. 87.
It's amazing that he lived to 87 because he was a heavy smoker and drinker. One of the great stories with Larry King, he was doing DJ stuff in Florida. And this lady kept calling him every night saying, come over, Larry, come over, Larry. Well, one night Larry decides, all right, I'm going to go over there. And he puts a record on him, a real record, you know, the vinyl record. Mm-hmm. And he gets to this lady's house. He goes in there. She's in the bedroom waiting for him. And he just puts on the radio, or the radio was on, and he hears the record skipping. So he had to run back to his car.
I tell you what,
to the station.
I don't believe, I'll tell you what, I that has happened more than you ever know, but the guy never leaves the station. Trust me. I mean, when it's all said and done.
Well, Larry claimed he left the station.
Well, you know, I throw the BS flag at that, but
there's a lot of BS stories from Larry. He has a story about Sandy Koufax.
Yes.
Driving up to Hartford, Connecticut in the snowstorm to get Carvel ice cream. And when they asked Sandy Koufax about it, he said, I don't even know this guy.
Yeah, no, that was part of the legend of him in the ice cream store. And I understand when they pushed Sandy on it, he said, I don't even know who this guy is. Is that true?
Yeah, I never met him before.
True? Yeah, is that true? I heard that. I don't know it.
Well, Sandy Koufax said he didn't know Larry King. I surmised the story was made up. Which shows you what a good storyteller he was.
Yeah, he's great. he began, I looked at his bio, brought it in, started in 1957 in a Miami radio station. And he moved to TV in 60 and... I mean, you get seven wives, and you're 87 years old. You ran hard. There's a picture of him emceeing a thing with Donald Trump standing next to him. So the man ran hard.
And he had a good run, Larry.
Oh,
and again, because he smoked so much and had so many heart surgeries, it's a miracle he got to 87.
Yeah, well, and he was married to Hammer, so not all of them were really beautiful women. You can't throw rocks at him, and I don't know, man. He's like, now he's gone.
He overachieved in the marriage department as far as looks go.
Well, I told Stefan. No, and the next one, and I don't want to say it, we're getting email on it, you know, Rush Limbaugh is very, very ill. And, you know, yeah, that's going to happen. You know, I hope it's later, but we're going to have that morning as well. I'm a boy.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, you just hope people don't suffer too much. And, you know, it seems like Rush is really fighting it.
They didn't think he was going to be here, and he's here. So that says volumes. All right. Comments on Hank Aaron first. Your thoughts on Hank Aaron?
Well, a body blow. I mean, you had Tommy Lasorda pass away, and then Don Sutton, and then Hank Aaron, and you wonder, when's it going to stop, all these Hall of Famers? Last year, a lot of Hall of Fame players passed away, but Hank Aaron was a little bit different. It really stunned me, and, you know, he always looked youthful to me. It's hard to realize he was 86. You start looking at your own mortality when some of these guys you saw playing in their prime are now passing away at, you know, 75, 83, 86, whatever. And I was just saddened because he was such a credit to the game. And many famous people, they have some warts because people are imperfect. There's no perfect people.
Oh,
and
please.
Hank Aaron wasn't perfect. But I don't know of any scandal or any kind of – he wasn't involved in anything that would be embarrassing to him or the game.
You know, I read about a lot about him. When I was a kid, he was, because I was like this diehard Pirates fan, and you know, and they and he was with Milwaukee, and we hated Lou Burdett. You know, we hated, you know, Warren Spahn was kind of like okay, but they were just good, and the Pirates, of course, were the Pirates. And I'm talking about radio, Bob Prince, the Gunner. I grew up on Bob Prince.
Gunner.
And I wrote about
it. Had him all the way.
Even they, you know, I worked in a pool room, worked in a deli, you know, worked in a bowling alley. But coming home in the summer, tell you, for real, walking through houses and coming out the back of the pool room and through the alley. And Pirates played a lot of day games. And everybody had radios on and nobody had air conditioning, so the windows are always open. And I'm telling you, for real, Billy, I think I could walk home, listen to the games, you know, like this radio, that they were all the radios on. Everybody's mom had the radio on, KDKA, and everybody had the Gunner. And you could walk home, you know, they had this little, remember those little screens? You could widen them, put them in a window and widen them and bring the ledge, bring the window down on top of it. Nobody had aircon. Aircon was unheard of. But you could walk home listening to the games.
Yeah, that's the way it was in Brooklyn. Larry King used to tell those stories that, you know, you'd always be, you know, what the Dodgers were doing.
Yeah.
By the way, in Pittsburgh, you had a pretty good right fielder, too.
Clemente. Our Berber.
Yes.
I've told you my story, man. We didn't know who he was. We went, I played baseball. I was anything baseball and box a little bit. But this they would do like bonds. We'd have to sell little league bonds in the bars. And you put on your, you know, your uniform. And you're so proud, you know, like sixth grade, you get a uniform. And on Saturday, we would sell for a dollar bonds, you know, that went into the fund to buy the uniforms and the hats and, you know, everything.
Sure.
With it. And we'd go into bars with these bond books, you know, and selling, you know, some guy half in a bag, you know. And it was like us and the nuns, you know, trying to work the bars. But this one bakery would bring in Pittsburgh Pirates. And it would be a big kickoff for the baseball season. And it was Roy Face, Bob Friend, and Clemente. And his first baseball card said Bob. It didn't say Roberto. It said Bob.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't figure out. We went to see him, and we couldn't figure out who he was. He spoke Spanish. But he was clearly a black man, which that was, you know, our neighborhood. That was all right. But he didn't speak English, or we couldn't figure out who he was. And we remember having conversations walking back up to Frankstown Road. Who the hell is this guy? Because we thought, and then, you know, Len, he later talked about how tough that was for him because how he was treated. He was a hell of a guy.
Well, Spanish players, even today, you know, they have a tough time assimilating. You get a lot of these kids from the Dominican Republic
from
who
the
don't
DR.
Speak English.
From the DR, yeah.
They don't have a lot of the modern conveniences that we have in America, and it's a tough go of it for some of these guys.
Imagine what that was, I don't know, 56 maybe?
Yeah, even more so.
Man.
There were a lot fewer
and he was angry.
Spanish-speaking ball players.
Yeah, I read his bio, and he was angry, rightfully so.
Yeah. But, and Bob Prince called him Bob quite a bit until he asked him.
Always did. That's in some of the books. He called him Bob, and he finally went up and said, "Look, you know," Prince would do a Spanish take on the guy and everything. And man, another it was a different time. But he would catch when there was something the Pirates had called the Knothole Club, and if you could get down there in your baseball uniform or in the right field, you could go out and sit in the right field. And they had a covered bleachers. I don't know how many times he went. And when he was shagging flies, and he flipped the balls up to the kids sitting up there. I mean, I watched him do it many times. You know, he did that umbrella, kind of that Willie Mays basket, you know, and then he'd just catch the ball and flip it up to the kids.
Forbes Field.
No, man, I'm telling you. I mean, across the street from the Home Plate Cafe.
Part of the outfield wall is still standing there.
Yeah, they kept it. Last time I was in Pittsburgh, I went to this get-together, and they showed me that wall. The fight club where I used to train was the Hebrew Y was one place, and then the other place that we boxed and fought. And we'd have to walk, you know, we'd walk there. And that's thousands of years ago, but... I know you got to go. Listen, I know I'm looking forward to the next one we do. You're coming in the studio, and we'll get Casey and you and Billy and Crowley, and we'll do it right.
That sounds good, Peter.
Love you.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of the morning.
Thanks, man.
And have fun with the Hitman later.
Oh, Hitman's coming up. Thanks. Bill Rogan, everyone. 303-696-1971. A line is open. The new column is up. 710 KNUS/Peter Boyles. It's been announced, the lawsuit. The next one is dropped. These guys aren't playing. I was telling people, get ready. Dominion now suing Rudolph Giuliani. It'll work its way down. 35 will be the high with some snow. Time to save more money. Find ways to cut spending. Review most of your budget. And we do that. What happens to be your mortgage is a big lump. Do something about it. Call our friends at American Financing. Free mortgage review, because a lower rate can mean hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars in monthly savings. It is a really close call to learn more, but here it is. Just pick up the phone. Boom. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Lock it in now. Get that mortgage number. It's way low right now. Tell them, okay, I want to do this. They'll work it out for you. It's crazy not to do it. I'd like to save you money. Okay, gee, thanks. Short time on your mortgage. All right. 303-695-7000. Online, AmericanFinancing.net.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
Beach Boys. Big Bang coming. Monday morning, we got some snow this afternoon. 35 will be the high, 26 in snow tomorrow. Wednesday, 45, sun comes back. Hitman Joe Williams coming up. Amy Duncan's here for the numbers. Amy, what do we got?
Good morning, Pete. Happy Monday. And as we open up the markets here, after the NASDAQ closed at a record high last week, we're looking at the NASDAQ up almost 180 points. The Dow Jones, just the opposite, off about 175. S&P is positive. So this is going to be a big week for some of the earnings, or for a lot of earnings, I should say. In particular, some big names, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, McDonald's, Starbucks. So we're going to see a nice mixed bag of retail, consumer, and technology, whereas the first week is mostly financials. I want to bring to a point something that is still on the minds of a lot of our clients, and that's market volatility based on the new administration. A good client called in, actually it was last week, and said, you know, we're very nervous about things changing, about losing money. And in particular, it was about a bucket that turned out to be more of a short-term bucket for their son's college and or paying off their house. And the emphasis here, Pete, is very simple. Reallocating because of fear, reallocating because of speculation is not a good idea, but reallocating because of time frame is a good idea. So if you're looking to just have some guidance on, you know, which bucket, so to speak, might be short, medium, or long term, give us a call. Everything we do is customized, and we'd love to make sure you're on the right track. here at Alpine Planning.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Amy and the gang are there. Thanks, pal. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You got it. Have a great trip.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, Jam Lines, it's a Monday morning. I'll work tomorrow. One more alarm clock, and then I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday off. Stefan has Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm texting with Randy. I think Randy's got Monday or Jimmy, one of the two, and it'll flip the other way, and I'll be back. Joe Williams coming up. We're talking about the death of Hank Aaron, Larry King. Also about the the outcome of the football, getting ready for the Super Bowl. And it's been announced that Dominion is suing Rudolph Giuliani, seeking $1.3 billion in damages. And the subheadline, spreading conspiracy theories. It's going to begin. Mark my words. We're talking about talk because of Larry King's death. Steve, you're on a radio show. Good morning. Steve.
Is this me, Peter?
Close enough.
Well, have a wonderful Monday and a great vacation.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to share a story with you. Okay. I used to go to the turn of the century, and I met someone called named Mr. Berg, and he owned the Buttery in Tamarack. Does it make sense?
Sure, but I got full lines.
Okay,
I got full lines.
You're going to love this. You're going to love this. Okay. I was only 25 years old. I spent more money on a pair of shoes because he convinced me I would look good. How I got turned on to him was by a banker friend of mine, and that's where I got turned on to AM talk radio. Isn't it interesting? And then I discovered you and your books. You go back when you were doing book reviews.
Still do.
Does that make sense?
Sure, of course. Okay. And so the point of this is with Jam Lines, please.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I just wanted to say, it was an interesting day when he died.
Well, that was a horrible day.
With Merge. I just want to say thank you.
Okay. You're kind.
I listen to you every morning.
Thank you.
And I'm dying.
You are?
Oh, God. I was at Alice's place selling some stuff. I've got.
Now listen, hold on a second. You okay right now?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It doesn't sound
I'm just
like
in
it.
Great pain. I'm just in great, huge pain.
What are you doing for that pain?
I've got doctors and things.
No.
I don't drink. Okay, don't worry about that. That's not my issue. It's lower back pain. I'm not going to go over this over the
radio.
Are
you? No, please. You opened up the door, so step through.
What's that?
Take a last comment, if you would, please. That'd be cool enough.
Okay. I was impressed with David Ellis. I was impressed with you and your radio shows for years. I followed you every time you got fired. I found all your AM stations. That took me a long time occasionally, but I always follow you. I wake up every morning at 5 o'clock with my radio on, listening to you. So that's it.
And there it is. All right, man. If you need us, call me off air. You can get a hold of Billy. Thanks.
All
right, man. Here's a voice. John Bowman, JB, you're on air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Hey, just talking about Don McNeil and the Breakfast Club.
I got your note.
My mom used to get up every morning and wake us up, and we would march around the breakfast table. Come on now.
First time, second call to breakfast, third call to breakfast.
And on the Beach Boys, Don't Worry, Baby, and Little Deuce Coupe. Hey, a couple quick ones. Dominion, aren't they the local company that's over there in
yes,
the old
they
spaghetti
are.
Factory?
Yeah.
And you know who the
yes,
sister
I do.
Of the owner?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's a local news director.
Watch this.
In big times. Hey, look. So I was out KDKO, Jimmy Walker, Dr. Daddy.
Daddy Ho.
He gave me the weekend Inner City Vision show, learned a lot of things, had a two-hour show opposite the Broncos. It was crazy. But one time I had to fill in for, and they're getting ready to have a golf tournament, a special tournament out at Green Valley Ranch for Theory Smith.
I worked a lot of years with T.
And so Theory had to take a day off because of his MS, and
sure.
I filled in. Well, he had all the nickname callers, and they would not call me up. So this was right after the Bulls had beaten the New York Knicks and Patrick Ewing. I went to Syracuse, hated Patrick Ewing. Bottom line was, I couldn't get anybody to call. So finally I said, well, I think we found the missing link. He was the guy that beat the Bulls yesterday.
Oh, you didn't do that.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? Do you know? Daddy-O came storming into the studio. He said, Bowman, what the hell did you do?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You broke all the lines. You shut down the computer system. He was laughing. He said, whatever you said, say it again.
Yeah, Daddy got it. You know, we were pals. I mean, Jimmy, when they were in the garage, you know, and that's when I met Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was mentioning this, talking about it earlier. I got this TV thing. It was called Streamwise. And I find all this alternative stuff, Johnny. It's called Streetlight Melodies or something. And I clicked on it. And it's all about doo-wop and inventing doo-wop and New York radio. And, mm-hmm. Sonny Till's in it. I mean, not Sonny Till, but about Sonny Till and Lee Andrews. And, I mean,
I grew up in Chicago with the radio station WVON.
Sure, of course.
You know what VON was?
Voice of what?
Voice of the Negro.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Back in the day, brother.
Because I grew up on Whammo.
And see, we used to listen to KDKA, right?
Right. No, KDK was for how things break down. There was a Kim Radio white boy top 40 called KQV. But okay. Then all of us listened to Whammo. And Whammo was a daytimer when I was a kid. And everybody's African American except the afternoon jock, who was a white guy named Porky Chadwick. And we all walked around with Porky Chadwick's soul security cards in our back pockets.
There you go.
He played Lee Andrews and he played Sonny Till and he did all stuff. But the mid morning guy, and I later figured it out, was he was a black man, but he put on an accent and he called himself Sir Walter Raleigh. And his tag, hand of the air. And his tagline was the colored gent with the English accent.
Well, seeing the guy at nighttime in Chicago on VON was Herb Kent, the cool gent.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, KDK would boom into Chicago.
Big time.
Across the Great Lakes. Just, and the other one we listened to was Randy's Record Mart in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
remember
those guys. We got those guys, and that's probably where I was not never thinking I'd ever be in radio, but radio, you know, was so important because the music was important but later I found out because when I sat down with guys like Bob Lee and those guys who wrote about this column I got, I mentioned the scandals and Sir Walter and I love the Valentinos. That's like an obscure, you know, really obscure doo-wop 50s, mm-hmm. you know, but they had a song called I'm Looking for Love. I'm mm-hmm. looking for love, looking here and there, looking there. I can always sing it. So I later find out that you'd get, you know, $5 a holler. And so he'd do a triple spin, and he had this British clipped accent. He'd play the Valentinos three in a row. And he got $15 or whatever he was making. And then
then
a woman named Barbara Jean, the Queen, Barbara Jean gig. And we're on them, man. I mean, like,
okay, here's one for you from today. This is the world premiere yesterday on the Brother Jeff Show. This is the message to Mayor Hancock.
I saw it. You sent that to me. Jeffrey.
Boy, how powerful is that?
Jeffrey.
And you know what? Those guys that are the cops on that duty that came out there and did that right by Channel 12, right where we used to do Colorado Inside Out.
Sure.
Those were rookie cops that they had out there just to show them how the training officers. This is how you break down these encampments. This is how you treat these people. If you get a chance, watch this video. It's all local hip hop kids that are now adults. They've been around the world.
Let me do this. I need to talk to you, so hold on for a second. All right, 303-6, what we're going to do, music's in the background, coming back with Hitman, Joe Williams. Dominion is suing Rudolph Giuliani, $1.3 billion in damages, spreading conspiracy theories. It is only the beginning. It was Sidney Powell, and they're moving through, and they'll move on down the line. Hang on, 35's the high, snow's coming, stay here.